first, the underlying premise that the National Security Archives worked from was their analysis was that we had a significant number of no records as opposed to other agencies. And while factually that's true, they didn't look behind why we would have no records, and that's unlike any other agency. People are curious as to whether or not we have files on themselves or on their grandparents or parents or individuals or about events. So we have a large number of requests coming in, just essentially people wanting to know if they're FBI files. There are even websites on this issue. There are public interest groups that urge their members to make such submissions. So we just get a lot of people wanting to know if there are FBI records on a subject. And most of these subjects, there is not an FBI record. So that accounts for the high number of no records that we return.
So it sounds as if in some level you're living still in the long shadow of J. Edgar Hoover, famous for his dossiers. But that era kind of started coming to an end back in the 70s.
I think that actually, if you look back over the last years, there was a suspicion about the federal government from a lot of people, and so it's become kind of in the polarized politics that we've seen in the last years. But actually, this is historic. People just want to know what we know or what we have. So we get a high number of just inquiries, fishing. Basically.
Yeah, and I can understand that. You have people that, you know, maybe they're a little bit self-important and they want to know, I bet they have a file on me, so I'm going to send my request into the FBI. And 9 times out of 10, the FBI is like, no, we don't have a file on you. But is it true? Is the part about the system that you use to search Freedom of Information requests, is it out of date? Because the FBI has been updating its computer system and its case file system. So is it possible that that part is true?
Well, the FBI has 100 million records. That's not 100 million pages. That's 100 million records, and they're in paper. And so we use the index system. Now, the index system has served the FBI since its inception, and we're the premier law enforcement agency of the world, so it's not a broken system. But it has its shortcomings whenever you're dealing with paper. But FBI is moving to electronic records with the Sentinel program, and then with the development of the Central Records Complex in Winchester, Virginia, all the FBI files will be co-located in one spot, and then a conversion as files are requested into electronic records will be made. So we're trying to essentially tame the beast, if you will, with all this paper. But it's a reality. You can't, though, all of a sudden create a Google search engine or something with the 100 million paper records.
So eventually they'll be scanned into electronic form, but only as those particular paper records are requested?
The concept is actually that records that we think are going to be requested will be backfile converted. In other words, they're going to be scanned in electronically.
Mm-hmm.
But for the vast majority, say a transportation of a stolen vehicle across state lines in 1980, no one's going to request that record probably. So we're not going to waste effort scanning it. A civil rights record, or that kind of record will all be put into electronic format. But if somebody off chance wants that record, say the motor vehicle theft, then as they request it, it'll be scanned in, and then we'll have it as an electronic record after that.
We're talking this morning to David Hardy. He's with the FBI FOIA unit. All right, so tell me the process that FBI uses for its Freedom of Information Act requests. Do you have an automatic reading system, or is it done by hand and then redacted, or how does that go in the FOIA office?
It'll arrive here. We have an initial processing unit. They'll read it, make sure it complies with the statute. If it isn't, we'll go back and tell the requester why it doesn't. If it does, then we set up a FOIA request, assign it a number. It's scanned in. We request the records to be shipped to us that we find through our searches, and they come in. They're scanned. They're put in automated format, both digital and image. And then we do all the redaction work through an automated system. So we don't do any hand redaction anymore.
And I wanted to get back to the memo from Attorney General Holder this morning that said that he's essentially overturning the attitude toward FOIA that was expressed back in 2001 by then Attorney General Ashcroft. And, I mean, there's still both memos have the provision for withholding in the case of national security and other reasons. But when a memo like that occurs, do you think that it filters down in such a way that it changes the approach of the individual FOIA officers?
I think the individual FOIA officers that work here in the FBI have always tried to release as much information for the 7 years that I've been here. And I believe the GAO did a study on the Ashcroft memo and found out that agencies really hadn't changed their processing, particularly under the memo. And we obviously are going to look at everything that we're doing and making sure that we fully comply with both the letter and the spirit of the memo. But I have seen very little redaction taken that there isn't some sort of harm underneath it, or at least an institutional harm, if you couldn't specifically identify it. Example would be informant identities or informant information. We withhold that kind of information. So I just don't think that's going to change that much. But we're going to look very carefully at what we're doing.
And Mr. Hardy, if I may ask, what percentage of the requests that you get do you think fall into the category of curiosity seekers versus people who want it for, you know, just for personal information or for research purposes or book purposes, that kind of thing?
I think well over half our people are just looking for
curiosity.
Right.
Well, you know, getting back to those car theft ones, there's a new fad among baby boomers that are trying to find the very cars they drove 25, 30 years ago. And so you might actually get requests on stolen cars from 1980.
Well, that's funny. Yeah, we get them for all reasons, I guarantee you.
You just gave the FOIA officers at the FBI a big headache. And then finally, if it's 50% of all people that that request are just curiosity seekers, you don't find any records. Is it a key word issue, or is it just that they don't exist? And in, as far as you can tell from your searches, there is no record of any information in your files.
Correct. Now, one thing I want to be clear about is we search for our initial search is for main files. In other words, is this individual the subject or the victim or a key witness to a criminal investigation?
Mm-hmm.
So now, maybe someone could be merely mentioned in an investigation, but we actually just chasing down what we call a C reference or a cross reference is so time consuming we can't do that on initial blush. And plus, you'd be surprised how many people have exactly the same name. Are they the subject, the victim, or a key witness in a criminal investigation? And frankly, it's not just themselves. I mean, they could be asking about someone else. They're just with all the requests we get, it's just that there are no records that are responsive to it.